Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend. Hello again, brothers and sisters, back for chapter 5 of Sex, Lies, and Your Future. Title of this chapter, An Internal Polarization. So, what is God's plan for sex? I must begin with a clear confession that members of the church, by word and deed, have failed to teach it well. In the course of teaching and preaching the message of this book, I have had people remark to me, "Why haven't I been told this before?" What follows are a few of the reasons many Catholics have never really been told what the church teaches and why. Several decades ago, some Catholic experts began a campaign to radically change and transform the teachings of the Catholic Church regarding sex and contraception. I'm sure they had practical reasons, like the Protestants did, and believed that the promised miracles of the pill. These individuals wanted Catholicism to get with the times, just as the Anglicans, the Methodists, the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Evangelicals, the Hindus, and the Supreme Court, and the Congress had done. A lot of Catholics were swayed by their inviting and progressive agenda, presented with zeal, but it was a campaign of error, division, and half-truths. A few progressive Catholics even sought to show real leadership and get ahead of the times by pioneering what were then truly radical new ways in sexual teaching, embracing same-sex relationships and lowering the age of consent. But I'm getting ahead of myself once again. With the progress of the sexual revolution underway, those Catholics who desperately wanted the church to be up to date and in on the new sexual times were in for a disappointment. In 1968, Pope Paul VI released a restatement of official church teaching which explicitly reiterated that artificial contraception is a sin. Remember what a sin is. It's a miss the mark to not be what God, the fullness of what God has called us to be. Paul VI's statement in his letter, titled Humanae Vitae, which means of human life, to say the least, Humanae Vitae was not well received by most members of the intellectual community and young Catholics, including some of those in seminaries. The better life, the promised fruits of contraception, the Protestant and near universal embrace of artificial birth control, women's liberation, theology, ecology, fascination with all things new, worked against an obedient acceptance of this scriptural, ancient, and now counterintuitive teaching. Misleading the flock. Sadly, men and women, often priests, nuns, and teachers, called to understand, explain, and defend church teaching, instead got swept into a sea of change. In order to facilitate progress, the church's constant understanding of both scripture and natural law were attacked from within. Parts of sacred scripture were ignored or shaded, and natural law was abandoned. Overwhelmed and with fading confidence, some Catholic pastors and teachers simply stood in a confused silence, rather than effectively sharing the constant moral teachings of Catholicism. Other teachers and pastors proudly refuted Christian sexual morality in word and deed. Tragically, a few bishops officially rejected the tradition of the church and the Pope's authority. While not the only catalysts, these actions helped to usher in an age of great dissent, division, decline, disobedience, priest shortages, empty convent, confusion, silence, sexual immorality, and scandal, the fruit of which is upon us. It is impossible for the level of incompetence demonstrated in some areas of church leadership to have been accidental, and it wasn't. to deny any one teaching of the church, such as her teaching on contraception or sexual morality, requires a denial of so many more teachings. All truth fits together. The scale and the reach of this internal division should not be underestimated. In some places, speculative psychology was championed over fundamental theology. Syndromes over sin. Tradition had to be discarded and authority rejected. Scripture and prayer had to be retranslated and in some cases mistranslated. Teachings on morality and church authority were stripped of substance. Sexual sin was ignored and the existence of hell denied. Without actually saying it or even admitting it to themselves, in the minds of many of her clergy, nuns, and teachers, the following position was lived. The church is not only behind the times, but also wrong. In the plan of a certain stripe of progressive Catholic, the church became the enemy of progress and human fulfillment, and thus an object of scorn and bitter internal attack. Furthermore, the church became an incubator for passive-aggressive self-loathing. Why would one dedicate his or her life to an institution with clearly stated, deeply rooted, fundamental principles which one utterly rejects? Imagine a pacifist enlisting in the Marine Corps infantry because he likes socialized medicine, military parades, and men in uniform. All too obviously, in certain cases, this did not make for the best screening or educating of priests and perpetuation of the faith. An embrace of the church's clearly stated, deeply rooted, fundamental principles became labeled rigidity in places and was a reason to be rejected from seminary or denied tenure at a university. Sexual confusion and moral ambivalence were seen as openness. It has been a disaster, and we are living it still. The sex abuse crisis, which erupted in 2002, is the one bad fruit that the media and general public will acknowledge and often use to further undermine respect for the church and her teachings. St. John Chrysostom, who lived during the 4th and 5th centuries, soberly stated that the road to hell is paved with the skulls of erring priests and illuminated with the skulls of erring bishops. I soberly state that in recent decades, the skulls of perverse priests may have joined them. Never have so few done so much to destroy the faith of so many. And so this state of affairs has done its damage. The fullness of faith simply has not been taught in places, and its substitute was a jumbled patchwork of watered-down gospel and secular philosophy. So many adult Catholics don't know their faith because what they were instructed in was presented as unnecessary, incomprehensible, and contradictory. Consequently, very many people have left the faith. Most have drifted away. Some have been driven away. And some have quite rightly seen that their parish or their priest or their school was teaching neither the fundamentals nor the fullness of Christianity and sought it elsewhere. Of course, there have been a few Catholics who have been faithfully given the full scope of the church's teaching and have still left her flock. However, I believe they are the minority. From the day that Judas became the treasurer of the 12 apostles, the church has had to deal with attacks from within and without. In this latest crisis of eternal attacks, a corner is being turned. Most recently ordained priests have no interest in conforming the church to the world's morality concerning sex. Also, some priests and teachers who previously embraced or tolerated contraception have experienced a change of heart. Recently, a pastor I know told me he was trained in the early 70s in the seminary to undermine the moral teachings of the church on sex. He was told, or lied to it, or at best misinformed, that in due time the official teachings would change. He believed the error he was taught, and that in due time the church would change. Today, his experience with the destruction of the family, the disorder in the church and in the wider culture have helped him on his journey of conversion to the authentic, clear, and timeless moral teachings of the church. He is now a strong advocate of God's mercy and a prophet of the dire, gradual consequences of sexual sin. Finally, he is a gentle advocate of the need to teach the whole truth. This is a spiritual battle. Each person must individually choose a side and fight accordingly. There is no place for spiritual pacifists. The enemy of Christ and his church are not flesh and blood, but falsehood and lies, evil spirits, principalities and powers. That comes from Ephesians chapter 6. Still, teaching errors or half-truth is a root problem extending to the trunk and branches. And again, the resulting confusion and disobedience have borne bad fruit in every area of the church, from the behavior of Catholics, single, married, priests, and religious, to broken lives and scandalized and scattered faithful. The Latin proverb, Corruptio Optimi Pessima, states that the corruption of the best is the worst. If one believes that Jesus founded a church to, quote, go therefore and might make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, end quote, then the corruption of that teaching is the worst of all corruption, and must be recognized as a place of intense attack in the spiritual war of this life. Furthermore, if the family is the best environment to learn love, discipline, and self-control, then undermining of the family is the worst of all corruptions in the human drama. No ignorance, no neglect, no lukewarmness in the best will go unexploited by the evil which is prowling around the world, seeking the ruin of souls.